As we touched on yesterday, the federal government's commissioned a new parliamentary inquiry into the viability of nuclear power. Dr. Ziggy Switkowski headed up the last federal review on nuclear power in 2006. He was the chairman of ANSTO, Australia's Nuclear Technology and Science Organisation. I spoke with him a short time ago. Dr. Switkowski, welcome back to AM. Labor says this inquiry is a frolic. If there's no bipartisanship on nuclear power in Australia, is this a pointless debate?
Well, I think a number of voices have been raised in the last few weeks expressing an interest in understanding what it would mean to go nuclear again for Australia. And although the South Australian Royal Commission updated the fact base around nuclear power, this whole issue of finding areas of agreement in Parliament and gaining community support, I think has revived interest in nuclear, and it's appropriate given the way the technology is changing in that space.
The former Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, has tweeted overnight that the cheapest form of new generation is renewables plus storage, cheaper than new coal and far cheaper than nuclear. Is he right or wrong?
I think he's probably right. There's no question that the renewable solar and wind in particular have become very cost effective, and the outlook for battery storage is promising. But it's not with us yet, and it may be some years away. And I think these small modular reactors, so the reactors that hitherto have powered nuclear subs and icebreakers, about a tenth the size of a regular big power station, they look as if they'll be widespread in their deployment in the 2020s. And it's the sort of design that produces baseload electricity and looks to be completely compatible with the needs of the Australian continent in the 2030s.
Are there any of these in practical operation right now? How much do they cost and how long would it take to build?
Well, all those questions are now being tested and answers provided. There are small modular reactors going through an accreditation process in the US and I assume in Russia, China and India, who are leaders in this field. I think the nuclear fuel cycle technology and engineering is well understood. The scaling down to these sizes, particularly if you're trying to achieve the ability to install them underground and not have water cooling. These are two big breakthroughs that will have to be tested over a number of years. So with our timetable, it'll take us a fair while to be ready to incorporate them in our grid. And I think they could coexist with whatever the generation of renewables might be and batteries at that time.
Does there need to be a majority public appetite for this? And also, what about the tricky question of storage?
Well, I think so. I think community support, which is, I think, slightly favourable towards nuclear at the moment, is essential because there are lots of issues around running nuclear power stations and the aftermath of the lifetime of a nuclear reactor. So bipartisan political support is essential, particularly since an investment made now won't start producing revenues for 15 or so years. That's six electoral cycles. The issue of the storage of spent nuclear fuel, I think the engineering of that is straightforward. There are now a number of countries, Sweden, Norway, France, the US, that are well advanced in building their repositories. In Australia, the storage volumes would be small. It would be 50 years before we'd have to have a repository in place. Over that time, lots will change for the better. But I am concerned about how you build bipartisan political support and community interest in this.
Would a price on carbon help create the environment where the cheapest, most reliable power is built in Australia? And you used to advocate that.
Yeah, I think we've evolved beyond that. Whatever the policy settings, sometimes a bit chaotically, have achieved over the last, say, 15 years, we are now on a path where coal is not the reference point. Gas is accepted as providing us with the flexibility that one needs to tune our baseload power generation. The reference points, the comparison points are solar in particular and wind, together with the cost associated with the complexity they introduce into the grid and battery storage. And against that, nuclear is likely to stay competitive for some time.
Dr. Switkowski, thanks for joining AM this morning.
Thank you, Sabra.
That's Dr. Ziggy Switkowski.